I invite you to join me once again at the foot of the cross. Today our meditation is on the second word that Jesus spoke from the cross, the word of salvation. Once more, it is Luke who records this event. The setting is our Lord Jesus crucified between two criminals. The Greek words used by the gospel writers to describe these criminals could refer to robbers, thieves, or bandits. One thief was crucified on Jesus' left and one on his right. The Roman authorities made this arrangement deliberately to humiliate Jesus in front of the crowd and to rank him with robbers and murderers. But this was more than just an accident of history. It was the remarkable fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about the suffering servant. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Around the three crosses, a great crowd hurled insults at Jesus. The Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, scribes and priests taunted Jesus in his helplessness. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, his chosen one. As it was custom during a crucifixion to nail a board above the head of a criminal inscribed with a charge brought against him, Pilate had ordered the inscription, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," written in the great languages of the ancient world, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, to be nailed above Jesus' thorn-crowned head. The bullying Roman soldiers, probably bored, probably longing for this most abhorrent duty of execution to be over, mockingly offered Jesus sour wine and sneered, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." The two thieves added their shouts of blasphemy to the howling of the mob. Then suddenly, one thief underwent a startling change. He rebuked his companion, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." The thief's words reveal three vital facts. Firstly, the thief was struck by the fear of God as he realized that very soon he and his companion would face something far more serious than the Roman magistrate who had sentenced them. They would face the judgment throne of a holy God. Secondly, the thief acknowledged that it was his own sin that had brought him to this atrocious end. And thirdly, the thief saw in Jesus an innocent man unlike any man he had ever met before. He grasped the true identity of Jesus and he responded with these words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This hardened man, at the end of a life wasted, a man who deserved capital punishment, came to a revelation that many, many people never arrive at. He looked at Jesus, broken and bloodied, torn and disfigured, so marred beyond human semblance that men turned their gaze from him in horror and disgust, as Isaiah had predicted. Yet he saw a man of matchless character who had just displayed behavior that he'd never witnessed before. He saw a man tortured and mocked, but who did not open his mouth in retaliation. He saw a man who only a short while before, while he was being nailed to the cross, prayed over and over a prayer of forgiveness for his persecutors. The thief realized that Jesus is a king, not just any king, but that Jesus is the king and judge of all the earth. And he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. The Jews had an expectation of the Messiah as an earthly ruler, but they also had that expectation found in Daniel's prophecy of one who would come on the clouds to the earth to judge the nations, who would be given an everlasting kingdom, the one whom all the nations would serve. So the thief asked Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, sometime there in the distant future, at the end of the age, will you remember me, this poor sinner who is crucified beside you?" The thief longed to be at Jesus' side, not only on the cross, but in glory. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Our English word paradise comes from the Greek word paradisos, meaning a garden. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the word is used especially for the Garden of Eden in the creation story. Thus, this word denotes the garden of God. In the New Testament, the word refers to heaven. Hence, Revelation 2:7 talks about the reward of the tree of life in the paradise of God. When Adam was exiled from Eden because of his sin, the gates of paradise were shut. But Jesus knew that through his death, he, the last Adam, would recover paradise that very day for all who believe. So Jesus gave the thief the wonderful promise of paradise, not an escape from present suffering, but eternal life in God's presence. Jesus began his answer with "truly." And when Jesus begins a sentence with "truly" or "verily" or "amen," we must pay attention. Here is a bombshell coming. And the bombshell was this, that Jesus promised the thief not sometime in the future, not sometime at the end of the age, but today you will be with me in paradise. Your entry into your eternal home will be immediate. What the thief received from Jesus goes far beyond any expectation he may have cherished. What a gracious demonstration of the love of God for a prodigal, a worthless man at the very end of his life on a shameful cross. Isn't it remarkable that the first man to enter into heaven was a prodigal? Luke liked, above all the gospel writers, to write about Jesus' love for the lowly, the outcast, and the prodigal. Luke alone recorded Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, the son who came to his senses while he was eating with the pigs. The prodigal son said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" He thought that when he returned to his father, he might perhaps secure a position as a lowly servant, but instead, he received the full benefit of his father's love. There on the cross, it was a prodigal, a man whose life was written off in the most terrible way because of his deeds, who was the first redeemed sinner ever to enter into the eternal joy of the Lord. St. Augustine said of the thief on the cross, "So little asked and so much given." Indeed, in this second word of Jesus, we see the love of God that is so wide and abundant in mercy, the love of God that is written in grace. The love of God comes to us as an unmerited blessing. We can do nothing to deserve the love of God. The thief learned on the cross that it was by faith in Jesus, that he was able to access all that God had for him. In this little incident, we see the whole of the gospel summarized. Listen to Paul's words in Romans 4:3, where Paul writes about Abraham. I'm going to replace the name of Abraham and substitute the word thief. The thief believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The thief's faith was counted for righteousness. Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we, like the thief on the cross, say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, thank you that you always give us so much more than what we ask for. Amen.
We extend a heartfelt thank you to Professor Eleanor Lemmer for her invaluable contribution of the 7 Words Devotional.